Good morning. Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today, Thursday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 3rd of October, 2024. CJ Miller and Sabrina Halverson coming up today with the news, including an update on corn and soybean harvest in West Central Indiana and how cheese is playing a role in menu items available at some of your favorite restaurants. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation today. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin updates us today on Indiana weather. And yesterday, the grain and oilseed markets were mixed. We have Tom Fritz market analysis on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Attention, Indiana farmers. Have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
A harvest update from West Central Indiana and how the dairy industry is working with some major fast food restaurants to bring you more cheese. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, last weekend, we saw the remnants of Hurricane Helene, which brought a lot of rain and wind gust to Indiana. Joining us is Caitlin Blessing. She's a field sales representative with Channel Seed based in Warren County, and her territory is West Central Indiana. Caitlin, did you see or hear about any storm damage to crops in your neck of the woods?
I think that we, knock on wood, just maybe got a little bit lucky. I was pretty nervous here sitting at home. The wind picked up Friday evening and I thought, oh goodness, what's this going to do to crops? But I really haven't heard of any detrimental damage. I've heard of some down corn from some wind gusts over a little more east of me in that like Clinton, Boone, maybe Montgomery area. But as far as my home base, we've gotten pretty lucky with missing some of that. And we had some good rains and it kept us out of the field for a few days. But we are back in the field chugging along now.
Well, Caitlin, I'm glad you brought up harvest because according to USDA, 20% of Indiana's corn has been harvested for grain. 23% of the state's soybeans are out of the ground. Do those percentages match up with what you're seeing in Warren County and West Central Indiana?
Yeah, you know, I would say that's actually pretty accurate for our area. 20% is actually about right where I was thinking. So I think they're pretty close on that. Parts of my territory closer to that Montgomery County area, a little slower, maybe 10-15%. But I would say 20% really catches my territory pretty well.
And how are yields looking for corn and soybeans across your territory?
I think yields are better than expected in most areas. There are some pockets of some disappointment in my territory with some missed rains and some tar spot and even some crown and stock rot kind of peeping its head up. But I would say for the most part, yields are pretty good and growers are pretty happy with how it's turned out.
You mentioned tar spot. I've heard reports of stalk lodging across the state at harvest. Is that something that's impacting corn harvest in your area as well?
Yeah, it has caused some disappointment this fall with some lodging and some yield loss. So there's even been some guys that sprayed 2-pass fungicide program to try and control it. And I mean, I've been hearing that a 2-pass fungicide program made a 100-bushel difference this year. So it's a different animal, and I think the more we can learn about it, the better we'll be in the future.
Once again, Caitlin Blessing with Channel Seed. You can hear our full conversation. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, the next time you order a pizza or perhaps pick up a sack of tacos at the drive-thru, you might want to think about the important role that cheese plays in those items. Sabrina Halverson reports how the dairy industry is working closely with some major fast food restaurant chains to bring even more cheese to your pizzas and tacos.
At the World Dairy Expo, dairy farmers and industry representatives gather to discuss innovations in dairy, with a focus on increasing the use of dairy products in everyday items. Randy Roker, a Wisconsin dairy farmer and member of the Dairy Management Inc. board, spoke at his booth about recent efforts to boost dairy consumption through strategic partnerships and innovation. He highlighted DMI's partnership with Domino's Pizza, which continues, he says, to be a major success.
They're hungry for more pizza, more sales, more pizza. And what does that equal for dairy farmers? More cheese sales. And that's what's so important. We want to increase the consumption of cheese out there.
Another partnership is with Taco Bell.
And they have this new, it's called the Grilled Cheese Burrito. It's a new shell that they came out with right now. And also back to Domino's, one of the new things they came up with just recently they released is the macaroni and cheese.
Beyond fast food, DMI is exploring new frontiers in dairy-based products.
You have to look at the components that are in there, in the milk. You know, there's different substances in there, you know, lactoferrin, tryptoferrin, all these different substances that are in there. What can we use that for in the future? And that is where innovation is so important.
He also discussed new ideas for utilizing whey, a byproduct of cheese production, including Michigan dairy farmers working with a distillery to make vodka from whey. World Dairy Expo continues through Friday in Madison, Wisconsin. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Once again, it's a pretty easy forecast for us as we are wide open, sunny, warm, and dry for the next 10 days to 2 weeks. Not even a blip of moisture trying to pop up in here between now and next Saturday. We are going to be seeing temperatures ride the roller coaster a little bit. I think we're warming here through the balance of this week. We have a weather system that moves through Wisconsin, Michigan, Great Lakes, and then into Ohio on Sunday, well, Sunday night into Monday. That could draw down some cooler temperatures for early next week, particularly Monday, but then we're right back to the above normal stuff. As a matter of fact, the latest 30-day outlook out of the NOAA office says we're going to be well above normal through the entirety of the month of October. That's a duh statement as far as I'm concerned. We've been above normal for the past 2 months already. Not so much in August with the extreme, but September was way above normal, and this pattern easily is going to continue through October. I don't think we have to worry about first frost or freeze for a little while. Now, I will point you to next Saturday, the 12th, a little bit of moisture trying to come together in central parts of Colorado and minor low pressure in Montana. That could be the seeds of our next weather system, but even still, if it does kick out of the Rockies and is able to tap into some kind of moisture source, it's likely going to be the 15th, 16th till it makes it here, but it's something we're watching. Right now, I have no threats to harvest over the next 10 days. Honestly, the next 12 days. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Gains in corn and wheat with Chicago Wheat, the upside leader. Beans down. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'll have settlements coming up. We'll begin the report with market analysis. I grabbed that at the end of the trading session from Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Tom, the grains were higher throughout the trading session, led by Chicago wheat. That helped pull corn up, it would seem. But let's begin with soybeans, a pretty significant sell-off early in the day, and then a comeback to near even. So let's talk about what the dynamic might have been in that market.
Well, I think soybeans, it's, you know, I keep thinking, you know, this the mid-1060s is resistance for November beans, but every time we try to sell off, you know, we keep coming back. Underlying there's a little bit of discussion, has the dry finish to the crop diminished the yield a bit? But that will continue to be under discussion probably for the next couple of months. But as far as the day-to-day activity, today the sharp break early came out of the soybean meal market. Soybean meal, we had some unexpected deliveries against the October contract. No deliveries were expected considering the strength of the export market down in the Gulf. And that's a result of, it seems like we have some folks down there that are short bought, meaning they anticipated some supplies to be down there in the current time frame, and they're not there. Just the other day, they were paying 90 over for meal down at the Gulf. And I think that's a result, at least this is what I'm told, that some of the newer plants that came online, they were quick to get some contracts done. And they're not fully operational yet, or at least they're not manufacturing meal to the extent that they thought they would. And I think that's why we have this little bit of a deal down at the Gulf. But also, last week we saw a sharp rally in the meal market coming out of the European Union stating that they're going to start their, they call it the EUDR, European Union Deforestation Regulation. And basically what that says is the European Union is not going to take any product out of Brazil unless they can certify it comes from lands that were not deforested. I hope I'm saying that word right. And so, all of a sudden, like, oh, my God, this is going to start at the end of the year. That would suggest more meal business for the U.S. But then overnight, the European Union came out and said, now we're getting too much pushback in that regard. We're going to delay doing this for maybe a year. So I think that and the unexpected deliveries in the meal market against the October contract was responsible for the big decline in meal. And I've always said meal is your leader for soybeans because it is so much of the 60-pound bushel. Well, the meal market collapsed, had beans collapsing, but then the meal market comes marching back a little bit. And then bean oil gets a lot of strength from the intermarket spreading, as well as the early spike in the crude oil. The early spike in the crude oil is all about the tensions in the Middle East. But that spike in crude oil has eased some as the Energy Administration said on their weekly stocks data that crude stocks were up versus down. They were looking for a decline of 1.5 million barrels. They got an increase of 4.5 million barrels. So that took the edge off the bean oil crude oil market. And that had bean oil easing a little bit. But I think longer term, bean oil is going to be your leader in the soybean complex just due to the demand for bean oil for the renewable fuels program. So going forward, we're in the midst of harvest. It's really hard to imagine, the soybean market just rallying right through harvest. But surprisingly, they're holding firm. So, like I said, there's discussion about, has the yield in beans diminished somewhat? But so far, we don't have enough results to say that that is a widespread situation. Yeah, there's some areas where they have had diminished yield, but other areas they're saying, what? Diminished yield? Oh, no. My yields are super, super strong. Some of the best I've ever seen. So what's the government going to say on October 11th? Well, that remains to be seen. Corn market gets a lot of help from the wheat market. But I think corn on its own, okay, harvest is wide open. Basis levels are under pressure, whether it's in the interior, whether it's at the Gulf. But the price of U.S. corn for export is now competitive with our major, with the major corn exporters, meaning South America and Ukraine. Ukraine announced their corn export prices are at a 16-month high, 18-month high. So corn is indeed competitive on the world export front. But, you know, as far as corn yields go, I can continue to hear of just really stellar corn yields for the most part. Sure, there's always some areas that aren't going to be, you know, very good. But for the most part, I'm hearing more good yields than I am hearing fair yields. I'm not hearing really any bad yields, but just fair yields. So, you know, I think the demand for corn, coupled with what the USDA told us on the quarterly stocks report on Monday, that was a very bullish report. Granted, it had to deal with old crop, but it also says our carry-in is going to decline by, 52 million bushels. So if we don't see an increase in yield and they leave demand numbers unchanged, you're going to see the corn projected corn carry out for new crop flirt with the 2 billion bushel mark. But I do think the USDA has grounds for giving us some better demand. So it wouldn't surprise me to see the projected carry out come in below that 2 billion bushel mark. And going forward, as I mentioned, you know, I think U.S. corn is competitive with the rest of the world as far as exports are concerned. So, you know, demand for corn is going to be pretty good. But does that mean we chase this rally with, 80%, 75% of harvest yet to go? That's a little tough for me to do. But, you know, that's just my problem. I'm not good at buying rallies. Wheat market, it's almost like the perfect storm. Russia's got problems planting their winter wheat. Ukraine had some issues, but they've gotten some moisture. European Union's got some problems planting their winter wheat due to excessive moisture. Extremely dry in the southern plains, but so far nobody in the U.S. is barking about problems. But the problems that Russia is having with the planting of the new crop and their slightly smaller old crop has Russian exporters saying, hey, we need to put some export curbs in place, especially since we have sold so much wheat this year at really low prices. But speaking of those low prices, we're also starting to see Russian prices come off their lows, Ukraine prices, wheat prices coming off their lows. As Russia and Ukraine has their tensions escalated, what was it the other day? There was some drone attacks on some Ukraine export facilities. So you put it all together and, you know, the wheat market, you know, as far as I'm concerned, has room to move higher, especially with, Russian exports in question. And, also it was announced, earlier today that Egypt's going to put together a direct, deal with Black Sea Origins for 3.5 million tons of wheat. When I say a direct deal, this follows up on what they tried to get done a couple of months ago where, okay, we're going to buy a big chunk of wheat right now. So, but supposedly, you know, hopefully their payment terms are a little bit better, more liking to the sellers as it versus what it was a couple of months ago. But, you know, from a technical standpoint, the wheat market's on solid ground. I think wheat's got a lot of room to move higher yet. Corn, I see a little bit of resistance, long-term resistance beginning in the mid-430s. But I'll admit, a lot of technicians out there are suggesting the next resistance level for Dease corn is 450. So we'll see how that comes. But beans, I think we're in a resistance area right now. We're seeing the meal market, you know, come from a resistance area. And soybean oil, well, that's just tough to keep up with because the push-pull that soybean oil has, you know, because of the crude oil market. But the bottom line is bean oil demand from the renewable fuels program, it's not going to go away. So, you know, I think bean oil's on solid ground, whereas I think meal, okay, we're going to replenish our meal stocks just because we're at harvest. So if the meal market's going to be on the defensive, I have a tough time being bullish soybeans at this current price level.
Tom Fritz, EFG Group in Chicago. Now the Wednesday settlements. December corn, along with the March contract, picking up 3.5 cents. Dease settles at 432.5. March now at an even $4.50. May 458.75, up 3. Down a penny and a quarter on November and January beans, 1056 Novi. January, 10.74 and a quarter. Again, both down a penny and a quarter. Dease wheat up 16 and a quarter, 6.15 and a quarter. And the meat's higher. December live cattle up 252, going to 187.70. And December lean hogs 76.75, a gain of 215. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.